Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I don't know how this is going to end, Lee. We're now up to 10 counties in Colorado in full rebellion, declaring themselves sanctuary cities and counties against gun confiscation laws.
Oh, okay.
In Colorado.
Well, that's a good thing for those of us who endorse and approve of the Second Amendment.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Democrats not happy about it. They're talking about passing something that bans sanctuary gun counties and cities.
Okay, yeah.
Just for gun, not for illegals. Don't
see, that is the absolute hypocrisy that I'm sick and tired of with the left. You know, if you're concerned about not following a federal law, then you've got to be concerned about not following all federal laws.
No, okay? The dual justice system is for them. You have to understand. It's not for us. So, they are smarter than we are. So they know what laws that they can, you know, follow and which ones they can't. And, you know, because they're very smart. But we can't decide that for ourselves. We can't do what they're doing because that would be wrong.
From my cold, dead hands.
Yeah,
mine too. I'm sorry. This is one of those things where this is not going to end well, folks.
No, it's not going to end well. Mm. And here's the problem. The irony of this is that these poor people that are in these counties where, you know, the Democrats are now taking control of legislatures, they control legislatures, and they're beginning to do these laws are passing all over the country. They're going to gun confiscation, not total gun confiscation, but, you know, picking and choosing what guns they'll confiscate. Well, these are the same areas that have sanctuary cities, yep, sanctuary counties and sanctuary states. So literally disarming people as criminals, thugs, and God knows who stream in and are illegally let out in violation of federal law, which says that they must be held. You cannot aid and abet an illegal foreign national in their escape. But yet that's what is mandated in these places.
And they are, and these municipalities and counties and states are literally protecting criminals.
Yep.
And then they are penalizing law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, so they are literally disarming law-abiding citizens who have every right in the world, because we actually have an amendment that says so, an amendment to the Constitution, the Second Amendment. They're penalizing them while flooding their areas with dangerous people and telling them they can't protect themselves. In Illinois, Illinois State Rep. Tara Costa Howard is pushing legislation to make it illegal for counties to declare Second Amendment sanctuary status. And I love how they put in the legislation, Lee, they specify, can't have any sanctuary status for guns. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if they weren't being consistent, they'd be like, no sanctuary status, period. We got to follow federal law. We got to follow the Constitution. Okay, that would be consistent. But no. They want, breaking of federal law. They want that. They just for them, though, not for us.
Exactly.
I don't know how this is going to end. I mean, I can see a showdown in one of these states.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what do they send the National Guard into to counties to arrest sheriffs? I mean, what are they going to do?
That right there, though, I think is the issue. The Congress has no power. Well, I shouldn't say Congress. Whoever's passing these things has no power to enforce this. And they will be hard pressed to find enough law enforcement or federal military in order to actually to do what they're talking about doing.
Let me think this through. Okay, so this is mostly sheriffs doing this, right? Occasionally you'll see a police chief do it, but it's usually with the support of the mayor and the city council, because police chiefs work for the, most places,
whole
mayor, city
situation.
Council. Yeah, whereas a sheriff is elected and answers directly to the people. Generally speaking, that's how it works in most places. So, okay, so suppose the sheriff says, because, in California, the attorney general has threatened to arrest these sheriffs if they don't break federal law, as is mandated by sanctuary state law, which is crazy. They literally have sanctuary state law in California that mandates that you break federal law or else you break state law. So it's not a win-win situation. Could they not send, places with liberal city councils, could they not send the police to arrest the sheriff?
I guess they could. Whether or not they would be able to, or that law enforcement officer would follow up on that, I just still have my doubts. And I just don't think that's an optic anybody wants.
Can you imagine that optic, though? I mean, that's what the beginning of a civil war would look like, sending the police to arrest the sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
Literally over two competing justice systems that the left wants to operate, one for them and one for us.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a sight to see. But I have a feeling it's coming. Oh, by the way, Caracas has gone dry. Because apparently and unfortunately, because you know they have the rolling blackouts there now.
Right.
Yeah, their water system is operated by electricity. So they don't have any water.
Well, that's not good.
I'm sure they'll get by without it, right? The joy of socialism alone will sustain them. They don't need water.
Yeah.
Or something. Meanwhile, second one of these studies I've seen in 2 months. Migrants, is that what we're calling them now? Migrants use nearly two times the welfare of native-born Americans. Households headed, this is what the outrage is. By the way, this is illegal too, not that anyone cares. You can't be an illegal here getting welfare, but yet somehow they are. Households headed by foreign non-citizens living in the United States, including legal and illegal aliens, use nearly twice as much welfare as native-born Americans. The numbers are staggering. 63% of non-citizen households. Even if you're legally here as a non-citizen, you're not supposed to be on welfare by federal law.
Okay.
If you're a legal immigrant, I mean...
You're doubling down.
And what's interesting about this is that is against federal law as well. But remember, Obama did the executive order that you could qualify for refugee status.
Right.
Along which, while, you know, you wait to see if you get it for 2-3 years, you get the illegal immigrant. You know, you get the welfare as an illegal immigrant. And so basically what Obama did was an illegal order. He basically said, anyway, it's illegal, but who cares? Let's give him the welfare. It's amazing how this works. I mean, just laws just brushed aside.
Yeah, the law enforcement, when it comes to these types of federal regulations here, is quite subjective.
We cannot sustain this. Roughly 50% of naturalized citizens, those who legally immigrated to the country and became citizens, use taxpayer-funded welfare, as well as about 55% of all households headed by legal immigrants, those who are naturalized and those who are not yet citizens. That is an outrage. But it's not surprising. Remember, Center for Immigration Studies found that on average, the majority of immigrants to this country after 15 years, this is legal immigrants, to this country after 15 years do not have a fluent command of English. So, I mean, the only way you can live here, if you can't read and write, you are effectively illiterate, is welfare. I mean, tell me again, remind me again, Lee, I'm sorry, why do we need these people? We need them for something. Tell me what it is.
You're asking me?
Yeah, I don't know. What do we need them for? Like, what purpose do they serve? Aside from, you know, we work to support them.
Well, I think that the purpose is what do we serve?
Yeah, we serve them. Unfortunately, and Congress won't do anything about it. Texter writes, remember, Tara, Colorado also allows recreational marijuana, which is against federal law. The hypocrisy is rampant. Yeah, the left wants to dictate what laws we actually comply with and which ones we don't.
And I'll point out once again that these companies that deal in those state legal operations of marijuana still can't operate with regular banks because that is against federal law. They have to have a separate monetary system to deal with these things because federally regulated banks cannot deal with these companies on a federal basis. It's not legal.
Texter writes, Lee and Tara, I think you are making a mistake if you think law enforcement officers and military won't show up to take guns at the direction of politicians.
I think most. I won't say not all, but most.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm just telling you. The conversations I've had with military people that I know and I've talked directly to and law enforcement folks that I know and talk directly to in this area, I don't think you're going to worry about it.
No, I don't think here. I think you're right about that. But then, you know, we've also seen cops stand by and watch as Trump supporters are beaten in the streets, like in Berkeley and places like that. So I could absolutely see the cops who work for city council and the mayor doing that there in those places. But I think you're right. Yeah, getting this text... I get this every time I do the Carolina Vapor Mill commercial, some form of it. Tara, I can't believe someone as smart as yourself would have ever started smoking. Yeah, no, I can't believe it either. Did anyone else out there do this, accidentally start smoking? I did. Now, I mean, you didn't mean to. I was that kid who brought home all the brochures to my mom. She smoked for 30 years, and it probably cost us a good 10 years with her. And, I mean, I was always terrified my mom was going to get cancer. And I was always bringing home, like, the flyers from school that came out was part of the, you know, don't do drugs program or whatever. Mom, you're going to die. You're going to die. Quit smoking. So she couldn't believe I started smoking in college. I did not mean to start smoking. I don't know if anybody else did this. Maybe it's just me. But I had a really good friend, a good girlfriend in college, one of my sorority sisters. And we roomed together. We stayed in the same apartment complex. Well, together we were roommates. We did an apartment. Got an apartment for the summer, decided to stay at UNC for the summer. This was after my sophomore year. And she had this high school boyfriend that, you know, I mean, nobody stays together with their high school boyfriend in college, right? I mean, that is just, it just never happens. So he had joined a fraternity and he decided he didn't like the girlfriend thing. And so he broke up with her. Well, she was just completely busted up over this. Just completely heartbroken. She cried all summer long. I mean, she basically went to work and cried. It wasn't a lot of fun. So she'd sit back on the back stoop and cry. And when she cried, she would smoke. She only didn't smoke the rest of the time, just when she was upset. And so she would say, so I'd sit back there with her. I always felt bad for her. And I was, you know, I was trying to talk her out of it. She's a very sweet girl. And, oh, hey, you know, other fish in the sea. But, man, she just loved him. It had to be him. And so anyway, so she would sit back there and smoke. And she would say to me, oh, I don't want to smoke by myself. Have one with me. And I didn't like cigarettes. They tasted awful. Oh, I still hate the taste. It's like licking an ashtray. It is. It's nasty. It's a nasty habit. Makes you smell bad. You can't enjoy your food. So, I would just take one for the team, and I would smoke the cigarette with her. Well, I mean, I have an addictive personality. I do. I know that about myself. And I've been aware of it all my life. Addiction runs in my family. And so, you know, I just told myself, well, you know, I'm just smoking for her. You know what I mean? Just when we're sitting back on the stoop and having one of these life conversations that we have, like, every day now. Well, here's how that ended. The two of them eventually got past it, got back together, and got married. I was in their wedding. So I gave one of the speeches, as everybody was a bridesmaid did. I gave one of the speeches, and I was like, well, she got this beautiful wedding ring. Great guy. And all I got was a smoking addiction. At the end of the summer, she quit. They got back together, and I was stuck with my addiction. It took me a couple of years to kick it, actually. I am just not strong with that. So yeah, I got conned. Listen, I was still a kid, but still. But yeah, so I got the smoking addiction and she did not. Something unfair about that. But anyway, that's the story. For those of you who are curious about it, keep texting me. I have shame. I did give in to the addiction. And when you quit smoking, you have to take it as seriously as if you've quit, like, alcohol or drugs or something. I mean, you have to view yourself as always an addict. I mean, I am an addict. I will always be an addict. I cannot ever pick up a cigarette again. That's how it got me the first time when I quit. I thought, man, I got this, you know, I've been at this for almost a year. And, you know, I've got it. I'm not going to smoke again. I don't even want one. So I can have the occasional cigarette. No, I can't ever have a cigarette again. I'd pick it up today and start smoking again. I would. Texter writes, my wife and I have been together for 22 years, married for 18 years, started dating in high school at 16. That's cool. So did y'all date, you dated straight through? I think that's interesting. When you met, did you just know? I mean, did you know at 16 or no? It just kind of, you grew into it over time. Love to know that. I just find these stories of how people meet. Their sort of love story is fascinating. You ever met anybody who fell in love at first sight? Did you fall in love at first sight, like, bam, you knew? I didn't. Never happened to me. But I watched it happen. I did. At one of the most remarkable experiences that I have had, I had this friend who was a really good friend of mine in high school. And we got to be really good friends because he lived near me and he would drive me to, you know, to school. We carpooled. And so we both ended up at UNC, and we, you know, basically we had all our classes together. We just had kind of set our schedules up that way, and we had all our classes together. We were just really good buds. And he had just the best sense of humor. It was a very unique sense of humor. So the one class I don't have with him is my Spanish class. So I go, you know, I go to Spanish, and I get paired, you know, because you're practicing the Spanish. I get paired with this girl, and I meet her. And he, you know, I told you he had that peculiar sense of humor, just very unique. It's sort of a way of moving and laughing, and just sarcasm. I can't explain it, but it was just a way about him that he had. And she had, man, that same way about her. And I said to her, I said, Do you know John? And have you ever met this guy? I was like, y'all related? Do you know him? I mean, like, is he? I mean, have you ever met? And she's like, no, I've never met him. I knew immediately, she was his wife. Talk about love at first sight. I knew she was his wife. I just knew. And so, you know, I was like, hey, this is, you know, after a couple times going to class, I was going to say, there's this guy you really got to meet. I mean, you have got to meet this guy. I can't explain it. You have to meet it. She thought that was a little weird or whatever. And not a little weird, but she's kind of, you know, she's kind of hesitant. And so she kind of, you know, put me off. I tried to get her to go to a concert with us or whatever. And she's like, eh. So, let's, you know, I always have lunch with him after class. Why don't you just come to lunch? And she said, okay. But, you know, no pressure or anything. She's like, oh, I don't really want to date anyone. Just got out of a relationship. So I brought her to lunch with me. And I will never forget watching it go down. Because, you know, like I said, I didn't have the love at first sight thing myself. I don't know anybody else who has, but I watched it. I watched him watch her walk in with me, and boom, it was over. I mean, I just knew him really well. The look on his face. I mean, that he fell in love instantly. It was one of those instant things. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen or experienced. And I think it was because I knew him so well. I just knew they fit. Like, right on meeting her. And I got just a sense of deja vu. But the really cool thing is, they dated for the rest of college, which was really funny because this guy was into motorcycles, not into commitment, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Fell for instantly, got married after college, and they are still happily married today. So, cool story there. I don't know. If you've ever seen anything like that, it really is remarkable to watch. But I just knew. I can't tell you how. Texter writes, I have a hardcore candy addiction. No. You laugh. That is a real thing. It is. It's hard. If you got an addiction to something, it doesn't have to be a drug. Texter writes, oh, yeah. This is the couple who dated in high school. Yes, straight through, grew into it over time. We didn't know we would beat all the odds. God and prayer is a big reason we love each other more every day. She stayed with me through my addiction. 10 years sober now. That's awesome. Wow, that man, that woman is a trooper. I hope you treat her really well. Hey, Lee, going to jump on the line with Henry, who wants to tell us how he met his wife. Hi, Henry. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right.
Yes,
go ahead.
We were in a college and career class at church, and after playing volleyball one night, a bunch of the kids were going over to McDonald's. So a cute little gal there in the group, I said, hey, let's go to McDonald's. I'll let you buy me an ice cream cone. And she said, okay. We dated for 2 years. We've been married for 32. So,
listen, wait, did she pay for the ice cream cone or did you, Henry?
She did.
She did. Wow. You must have had it going on.
Now she tells people, I should have known he was cheap.
See, I am that rare woman who considers a cheap man hot. I think there's like five of us on the planet.
I've pretty much been paying for all the dates since then, but
well, okay, see, now that's, you get credit for that. You do.
Absolutely.
Ah, that's great. Are you guys still happy?
Yep. And then went over to, when I proposed, I had to go over and talk to her dad, you know, get her dad's blessing on it, so. He worked at Caterpillar Tractor his whole life, always wore flannel shirts and bib overalls and work boots every time I saw him. And I went over and said, hey, Mac, you know, I've always wondered what you look like in a tuxedo, so I asked your daughter to marry me.
Oh, that's great. What did he say?
Well, first he didn't say anything because his mouth just hung open for about a minute and a half.
Understandable, yeah.
Then he said yes, and he actually came and picked me up the next day. He called me and said, are you home? And he said, I'm coming by, and he picked me up and drove me around in his car for like an hour and a half, grilling me about how I was going to treat his daughter and take care of her and provide for her, and wouldn't let me out of the car until he was satisfied. And he did wear a tuxedo to our wedding.
Good for him.
The time in his life he ever wore one that we know of.
What a great story, Henry. Thank you. Thank you for sharing it with us this morning. That was cute. Okay, I have wandered way off the reservation. This happens sometimes, Lee.
Yes, we'll try and lasso you in here.
Yeah, we started off with cigarettes and ended up at love at first sight.
Okay, well.
None of this has anything to do with politics.
Welcome to morning radio.
Yeah, welcome to morning radio. Yeah, getting back on the ship. here we go. No, it was just the cool. If you're wondering how we got here, I know you've been back in the newsroom. I was just talking about a friend of mine from high school who was. We were truly really good friends. Guy friend of mine, yeah. And he had a very quirky sense of humor that was very unusual. Just a fun person to be around. And we had scheduled our classes to be together at UNC Chapel Hill. And the only class I didn't have with him was Spanish. And I got paired with this girl. As my partner for, you know, speaking Spanish, whatever. And I knew, like, literally had the deja vu of love at first sight, which the way I understand it from Hollywood is only supposed to work between the two people involved in the relationship.
Oh, okay.
Right. Well, I had it with her. Like, I met her and I knew right away she was his wife. She had the same quirky sort of even way of moving. And I was like, I had to ask her, I said, you know, my friend John, I mean, have you ever met him? Because it's like y'all are family or something. And she said no. And anyway, after the first class, I went to lunch with him because I had lunch with him right after the class because we went to the next class together. So we always met for lunch. And I sat down with him and I was like, I just met your wife. And he just looks at me like I've, you know, lost my mind, you know. And I was like, no, I met her. She's your wife. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because he had just broken up with his high school girlfriend. He was like so done with commitment. You know, he was full throttle into all the college stuff that doesn't involve that. And I said, yeah, well, you know, met your wife. So he, you know, he just was not that interested at all. I said, whatever, you know. So I finally, like I said, got her to go to lunch with me. I tried to get her to go to a concert with us, but she thought that would be awkward or whatever. So I finally got her to go to lunch. She's like, okay, one lunch. That's it. You know, no promises, whatever. And the coolest thing, and it's just such a memory that makes me smile now, Lee, is walking in with her to the cafeteria. And I knew him so well. Because we'd spent all those hours together, you know, carpooling and stuff like that when we were kids. And I knew him so well. I mean, the second I saw his face when he saw her, and it was love at first sight. I mean, he is just bowled over. And they have literally been together since that day.
Tara the matchmaker.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I've never done that with anybody else. I have never been able to do it. But as soon as I met her, I knew, like, she was the perfect match for him. And she was. They have kids. They're married. They're happy.
You're one and done.
Yep. One and done. So I mean, it would have been cool to have that experience, like, you know, myself, you know, yeah. Love at first sight, well, but I at least got to watch it happen to somebody else, which was cool.
So at least you have that.
Yeah. So anyway, so we ended up getting there, Lee, by, you know, did that happen to you, or have you participated in love at first sight when it was not your significant other involved?
No.
Yeah. So there you go. Interesting. Texter writes, I'm ADHD, so meandering conversations are great for me. Well, then you're going to like this show.
That person probably follows along quite well.
Oh, yeah. Texter, oh, man. What a loser. I am putting the L up to my head right now, my forehead. Texter writes, I made my wife buy her own engagement ring.
Oh, okay.
What? You must have really had it going on, sir. That's okay. Texter writes, hey, Tara, love at first sight. She was 18, I was 22. After our first date, she told friends we would marry. Next date, I proposed. Married almost 53 years now, 3 children and 10 grandchildren. That's cool.
All right.
I love stories like that. Texter writes, my 5th grade Sunday school teacher told us to make a list of qualities that we wanted as well as did not want in a spouse. My list stayed with me and developed as I matured. The night I met my husband, I told him we would marry one day. That was 33 years ago, and we are going strong. I taught my daughters and nieces how to make a list.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I was just having this conversation with my daughter, actually. I said, because, you know, you don't know when you're going to meet your husband. And she was talking about how she doesn't care how she looks, you know, when she goes places. You know, unless she's going somewhere she has to dress up for. I said, oh, no, you're moving in junior high. I mean, you were moving in where you could possibly meet your husband. You have no idea where he's going to come around a corner. I said, you always have to be prepared for that. You know, so the kind of advice they were doling out to women in 1923, I'm good for that, right?
Well, okay. Well, sometimes there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Sue, anyway, texter writes, so I met my wife in second grade. Oh, wow. So I met my wife in second grade at our small Christian school in Pennsylvania. Our first date was a field trip in third grade. We dated steady all through high school, got married after she finished grad school, and are coming up on 20 years this summer. Marriage still works. Craig at Hidden Treasure Christian School. Okay, here's what I want to know. Can kids have that? Like, when you met her in second grade, did you know? Or is that, like, too early? That's not even possible.
I think that's a little bit early, but, I mean, you could develop a friendship.
Yeah, there. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think anything's possible. I see. You know why I think that? Because I think there's a. I think that there is a bit of the divine in a lot of these things.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that.
I think that's where that feeling that some people have comes from of, you know, maybe deja vu or, you know, as Yogi Berra said, what, deja vu all over again?
All over again, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where that comes from. I think because a lot of stuff is ordained from the beginning that's not accidental. So, but anyway, I love stories for that reason. Texter writes, awesome ice cream cone story. Yeah, no problem, Dave. I didn't come up with it myself, but I'm always glad when the listeners chime in.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, and where did this go? This was cute. Where do we go? Oh, never mind. It was cute. I'll find it. See, when y'all get excited, you start sending me a lot of texts. Yeah. The text line goes bonkers, and then yeah.
They have got to come up with a better app for that holds
they
on to
do.
Those things. It's just
I know.
Irritating.
All right, Bill is on the line. He wants to talk about illegal immigrants swarming the border. He's got some insight, he says. What's on your mind, Bill?
Hey, good morning, Tara. Love your show.
Thanks.
I have an idea. I just want your insight. We got these thousands and thousands of people coming across the border. Why not load them all up in buses and whatever conveyances we can put together and take them straight to Pelosi's district and Maxine's district? Just dump them all right there in the richest neighborhoods of California.
Well, see, the problem is that we would still be busing them into the interior, though, Bill. So it's, you know, we need to do it the old-fashioned way like we used to. Like, we just need to take them, put them in buses and take them back the way they came is the problem. But we're not doing that.
No.
No. Texter writes, I asked about love at first sight, like if you had ever experienced it, not for yourself, but for somebody else. Like you met somebody and you knew immediately that this was the spouse of your, I don't know, fill in the blank here, best friend, sister, brother, whatever. Texter writes that his parents did. My parents knew, not sure I did. Huh, that's interesting. Texter writes, I met my wife Tiffany at Walmart. We used to walk around the property during our break on third shift holding hands. We are totally in love. 6 years married. Tiffany is my awesomest, bestest, good friend. That's cute. I scored. If I could, I'd spike the ball. So says Dave. Congratulations, Dave, on that. All right. Jason is on the line. Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. What's up?
I was going to tell you a story how I met my wife. We rode the school bus together in fifth grade, and I didn't really know her, but she noticed me, and she wrote in my fifth grade yearbook that she loved me, but she didn't sign it. And then we went all through school together, high school, and luckily we didn't start dating in high school till our senior year because I was kind of the jock, the... You know,
you were a bad boy.
She was totally opposite of me. But we started dating our senior year, and we now have been together about 23 years, have 4 kids.
Wow.
And we didn't do it the right way to begin with. We had some rough times, but when we got when we let Lord lead our life, then we've had a great relationship ever since.
Yep, that'll fix it, won't it?
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Well, let me ask you this, okay, about your fifth grade year. I'm fascinated by this idea, like, you know, can a kid know, or I don't know. So when she wrote that she loved you in the fifth grade in your yearbook, how cool is that? First of all, do you guys still have that yearbook?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Then you said she didn't sign it, though. So did you know she wrote it, or was it kind of a mystery to you?
I did not.
You did not? Okay.
We passed it around the school bus, and she just, right before she got off, at her bus stop, she wrote it real quick and then passed it off to someone else, and she didn't sign it. But no, I didn't really. She was real quiet, and I was kind of the one surfing in the aisle and on the school bus. So
yeah.
She was just a girl with a nice tush back then.
I see. Yeah. So it's, you know, that's always it's a good prerequisite right there. Yeah. It's great, Jason.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, wait, one more question. So when did you find, this sounds like you could turn this into a movie. So when did you find out that she was the one? When did she finally admit to you that she wrote that in your fifth grade yearbook?
After we'd probably dated for 3 or 4 years before we got married. So we had dated a while before she even brought it up. I didn't know for a while, but, luckily, like I say, if I would have started dating her any sooner, we probably wouldn't have made it, but it was all in God's timing, and it worked out perfect.
Yep. When it's meant to be, it always does, Jason. Thank you so much for your phone call. I love sharing stories like that. Texture Rage, where did this go? I knew the moment that I saw her that I was going to marry my wife. We were together 18 years until she passed away last year. Oh, I'm so sorry. Texture Rates, followed my wife on Facebook for 2 years, had plenty of conversations, asked her out hundreds of times. I begged for just one date. Wait, sounds like you were a social media stalker. You're lucky you didn't get slapped with a restraining order. But I guess it worked, huh? Following my wife on Facebook for 2 years, had plenty of conversations, asked her out hundreds of times. I begged for just one date, had one date on July 4th. Needless to say, there was fireworks, married 3 years now, one child together, and just bought our first home. Repetitive persistence, which again some would call stalking. So wait, you just followed her on Facebook. You didn't know her before you followed her on Facebook? Well, something to be said for stalking. Sometimes it works out. I guess that's why people do it, right? Texter writes, let's go the other way. When my wife met me, her first thought was not my type. 10 years later, she changed her mind and called me. Wait, is this the same? Yeah, and called me. That's okay. That is random. And finally, I was going to my senior prom by myself, and my mom set me up with a date. Okay, that never works. But he writes, 32 years later, we're still together. And finally, Texter writes, gotta have a nice tush, if I spelled it right. So says Dave. Hey, you know, we WORD listeners have standards. You know what I mean? We are not bottom of the barrel kind of people. Gotta have a nice tush, or else what? I don't know. All right. Meanwhile, while we're on love and sex, sex and love and everything in between, just so you know, those of you who are waking up right now, rolling over, turn on the radio, well, apparently you are a bunch of losers. New survey found people who wake up early have more than night owls and make 10% more money. Well, you got more money, you know, you get more chicks. Maybe it's a connection there. I don't know. Yeah. They're also 10% more likely to say they're happy with their life. That's because they got all their stuff done. They got everything done because they got up early. Isn't it amazing if you get up early, especially on a Saturday, what you can knock out? No, like you wake up and you can't go back to sleep. This happened to me a few weeks ago. I woke up at like 6, couldn't go back to sleep on a Saturday. So I just started knocking stuff off my list. Man, 11 a.m. and it's all done. And I'm looking around. I'm like, wow, the most productive I've been in a long time. Then I passed out because I was tired. All right. We'll get back into this too. This from Fox News. I'm going to do more on this tomorrow. I don't know how many more ways and times that we need to be told directly by the FBI, by the DOJ, by people from the FBI, by people from the DOJ, that this whole Russian investigation is a hoax and a fraud and an insurance policy. I mean, if this doesn't do it, we have the testimony now from Lisa Page, FBI attorney, that was done before Congress in July, but it was behind closed doors, so we haven't been able to see it till now. Admitting, she's asked, hey, the insurance policy. What's the insurance policy, Lisa? Oh, the Russia investigation. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't the insurance policy the part where you were going to block the president from getting elected or taking office? Uh-huh. And tell us again, what was the insurance policy specifically? Oh, the Russia investigation. Awesome. Thanks, Lisa. Well, the Russian investigation is still going. It's being run by Robert Mueller. I mean, how much more do we need to hear here before we begin to see indictments? That's the crazy part. I mean, you know, I'm all for the pre-dawn Hollywood actress raid over the college fraud. But how about, you launched a coup against your country? How about a pre-dawn raid for that? Probably a step too far, I guess.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.